Come on, we'll have some fun. I'll show you how it works.
Have your fun, boys. Have your fun.
I thought it would be fun for him to see a live show.
I was watching the show having fun.
Have fun, my friend. Have fun.
It's fun, isn't it?
Oh, how fun.
Now we're going to do something extremely fun.
That's a fun way to say fun.
Mixed Mornings with John and Justin.
Start now
on Mix 105.1.
Good morning, Thursday, October 25th, 6:07. A high today of 66. Thanks for waking up with us. The gang is all here. Myself, John. Justin's over there.
Good morning.
Jackson.
Oh, hello.
Jackson, I know you hate everything about The Greatest Showman, but Pink's daughter has just... Pink actually posted a video of her daughter singing a song from The Greatest Showman, and I just played it before you walked in here, and it melted my heart.
She's going to be a star. She can sing, and she's really young.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she's very talented.
I cannot wait to play that in the Showbiz Beat It. Brought a tear to my eye.
Aww.
It was really sweet. Like, I was watching Pink, because Pink's in the recording studio with her daughter, and you can see the pride of a mom watching her daughter, and you're like, God, that is just awesome. So,
Listen, I feel like this is all just a ploy to get me to learn to like The Greatest Showman.
This will help a little bit, though.
John knows I hate The Greatest Showman, but I adore Pink and everything that she does. She's my number one queen of all time. So don't bring her into this, please.
I hate to kick off the show on a sad note, but I want to give everyone an up-to-date on plans to honor Lauren McCluskey. Tonight at 7 p.m., the soccer game versus UCLA, there will be a moment of silence, and the Utah players will wear wristbands with the heart logo bearing Lauren's initials. I don't know if you saw some of the Jazz players last night actually had Lauren's name written on.
And I thought it was really cool that all the athletic departments at the U are going to be doing something.
Yeah. And the other schools got into it also.
Oh, that's great.
Which I thought was really awesome.
Even the rivals, huh? Like down south there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. BYU was doing something, and so I thought it was awesome. A Lauren McCluskey Memorial Fund has been established by the University of Utah to honor her memory. The fund is going to support future scholarships for student athletes in track and field, because that's what Lauren was a member of. So
I can't believe how quickly they've organized all this.
Yeah, it's fast.
That's crazy. Good for them.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was reading this morning, we send emails to each other before bed every night, like little, you know, little sweet love yous to each other.
Sleep well. See you in the morning.
And Justin said, you know, I'm off to continue watching Making a Murderer number 2.
Finished it.
You finished?
You finished it already?
Well, it's only 10 hours. So it took me 3 days.
I mean, I'm not going to judge you. I've done way worse than that.
I really felt like you doing this. I'm like, man, this is something Jackson would do.
I love that kind of thing.
You
I
really
love
get into
watching
it.
TV.
Yeah, so I did. I finished
but
it
But John
last
is
night.
Horrified
I
by
am
you.
Absolutely horrified just hearing this. So?
I thought it was really good.
Okay.
Yeah. There's so many things, and then you kind of get upset with the system.
Yeah.
That's really what this one's about is the system and the way things work and the attorneys doing what they have to do with the system. So you really kind of like, man, whether he did it, whether they didn't do it, they've got some great arguments, but the system really angers you sometimes.
Is there a chance for Stephen Avery to get out at this point after watching the final episode?
Yeah.
Really?
There is. She punches holes all through their story.
All right.
And you find things that you're like, oh, why didn't they bring that up?
Right.
Yeah, she does some digging, and she's really good. No wonder I can't get a call back from her.
She's busy, so, man.
We'll wait a couple weeks and try again.
My question to you then is, what do you think of Stephen Avery? Do you think he's guilty?
I don't know.
Really?
No.
Okay.
I think it
is. Are you going to make me watch the second season?
Yeah, I think it's Brendan's brother.
Huh.
And stepdad.
Who did it instead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll have to watch
it. It'll put it all together, and you're like, you know what? You're right.
I asked this because
it's kind of shady.
I got to be honest. I feel like the buzz. I mean, Justin's been really excited about Making a Murderer, but The Haunting of Hill House in this building, which is another Netflix show, is what everyone seems to be talking about.
Right.
Yeah, it is unreal.
And you just got into it as well, right?
Yeah, I finished it.
What's this one
My gosh, the two of you.
What's this one about?
So, The Haunting of Hill House is about a family that moves into a haunted house. It's a deeply flawed family. So it's kind of a twofer. You get a psychological thriller with a crazy family and also a ghost story.
Nice.
It's a series.
Is it like documentary style or is it a sci-fi type?
No, it's a fiction.
Okay.
And it kind of jumps in timeline. It's hard to follow, so you really have to pay attention. But it goes between the family when they first move into the house when they're all kids to where they are as adults now. One of them's a psychic, and, like, it's crazy. It is so good. You got to go watch the show. Yeah.
I want to hear from you. If you have watched The Haunting of Hill House on Netflix, or if you've watched Making a Murderer 2, what are your thoughts on both? Because those are the two big shows that people seem obsessed about here in the building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just wonder if it's the building or if it's outside the building as well. So this says, Haunting of Hill House was great. The wife and I binged it in one night. How many episodes are there, Jackson?
10.
10.
1 hour episodes?
They're 10 1 hour episodes. And like, when you think an hour, you think a TV hour,
right,
where there's like really a half hour of commercials almost.
No.
No, it is a Netflix hour, which are real hours.
1 hour.
Very suspenseful. They don't rely on cheap jump scares. Definitely the best scary show I've seen in a long time. This says, Making a Murderer second season is so good. I agree with Justin. I don't think Stephen Avery is guilty. So,
no.
Yeah.
It doesn't add up now.
I gotta catch up on both. Justin. Let's get into the showbiz beat.
LiveCredit.com offers fast, simple loans whenever you need them. Even if you've got no credit or bad credit, apply online at LiveCredit.com. So police in Blackpool, England, posted a surveillance photo on Facebook of a guy that did a robbery, and they wanted leads. Well, they didn't get many leads, but what they did get is everyone saying, hey, that looks like David Schwimmer from Friends.
And it does.
It really does.
I know. I'm going to go watch it. John just posted the video. But here's the thing. David posted a video, kind of like what? Reenacting the scene?
Yep.
Of him carrying beer outside of a supermarket. But it's got a bunch of Yankee ads in the background. So it says like, hey, dude, I'm in New York City. I'm not in England. But at least he took a sense of humor to the whole thing.
A lot of people on social media yesterday were saying it wasn't Ross, but it was Russ.
Russ.
Oh, yeah.
If you remember, Russ also dated Rachel.
If you want to watch the video, John, you got it up where?
I have it up at mix1051utah.com.
Okay. So Modern Family, remember we teased about the fact that they were going to kill off somebody.
Yeah.
They did it last night.
Oh, wow. I didn't see anything on Twitter.
You know what?
Because
it was a letdown.
Was it really?
Yeah, they... We fell
into
it. Can
you tell me off air who it is? Because I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen it yet.
Okay, I will. But it's a letdown.
Is it one of the characters like we would even know?
You'll know. But it's like, oh.
If it's Pepper, I'm going to riot.
Hold on. I'm going to turn off the microphone here on the count of three. I want you to just yell it to Jackson.
One, my microphone.
Two, three. I don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is.
See,
I'm gonna do some googling real quick.
I told you it was gonna be let down. They said we're gonna kill off a character.
Right?
Did they say main character? Now I gotta look.
They
back
said
at the
substantial.
Notes.
Substantial.
Yeah. Okay. I would agree with that, but I'm like, that's very anticlimactic and disappointing.
Yeah.
You could have done a better job at that.
I wanted it to be Jay. I thought for sure it was gonna be Jay.
Because aren't they winding things down?
I wanted it to be Cam. There, I said it.
I know you did. You monster.
That would have been crazy, huh?
Yeah.
Ice-T, he was pulled over on the freeway in New York the other day. He was speeding in his brand new McLaren, went past the toll booth, didn't stop, and so... Oh, and by the way, the car was not registered. And that's cool. What they're like, hey, why is that car going through here so fast? He's like, no, I just got the car and I haven't put my pre-pass in here yet.
I'm sorry.
But you know what? They still arrested him and took him to jail. So if you're a star of Law & Order, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't
anyway.
Matter.
No. So, yeah.
I think people are starting to get over the fact that celebrities don't go to prison.
Well, I don't know.
It didn't work in New York.
I don't think it's anything new.
No.
Yeah.
All right, guys, that is the showbiz beat.
I've been choking, by the way, for the last
time. I know. Right. I'm really concerned.
I hate that.
Guys, I don't know what's going on. We might need to call someone. You're picking the story that you want to hear with Choose the News this morning. Justin's story is...
I think Facebook is trying to become MySpace.
Jackson!
Was this gas station robbed by a duck?
And I've got the real super deep meaning of mbop. Jonathan says, I lived in Oregon for a year, so I love my ducks. Gotta go with Jackson. Quack, 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 Mr. Ducksworth.
Oh, my goodness.
Remember that, Mighty Ducks?
A little much for you?
It's been a long time since I saw Mighty Ducks.
Hey, John, happy Thursday from Brenda. I like a good old duck robbery. My vote is for Jackson today. Says, hey, it's Kylie. I grew up with MySpace. Let's see it come back. I gotta tell you, right now, it's a three-way race. It is anyone's game as we go through these.
That's always good.
Hi, Mix, who's this?
Hi, this is Kristen.
Hey, Kristen, go ahead, choose the news.
I think I'm gonna go with a Facebook one.
There you go.
Did you have a MySpace account back in the day?
No, you know, I was a little too young for it.
That's why Jackson didn't have a MySpace account either.
Oh, I did. Lived for MySpace. That's how I learned how to code HTML, dog.
Really?
Yeah, I loved MySpace.
What about Friendster? Did you have a Friendster account? No,
too
that's
young
what
you. For that.
Okay. All right, Kristen, we got your vote.
Okay, thanks.
Someone just sent us a photo of like Donald Duck. So I assume that's for you.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah,
I'll take it.
Take it, right? Let's see. This says, we want to hear about the Donald Duck going bad carpool of four today. I'm going with the throwback. What is the meaning of mbop? That's from Terrell. Here's another one. Feeling a little mbop today. Three votes for John from Nicole. I don't know if Nicole just feels like I need three votes or there's three people in the car.
Nicole, you don't just get to throw extra votes in
no,
there.
You don't.
Justin, you'll be in my top 10 of the MySpace story wins.
Nice.
Yeah, taking my husband to work and kids to school. We need to know about the duck. Four votes for Jackson. That's from Kathy again. One text equals one vote. We got a lot of people just throwing out numbers this morning. The winner today with 36% of the votes.
Oh, it's tight.
Yeah, it's really tight. Jackson.
Whoa! Yeah. He squeaked by at the
squeaked
end.
Squeaked by at the
duck
end.
Duck made a comeback.
Really did. I thought it was going to be MySpace, but man, the duck's at the end there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you, everybody. Our story today comes to us from Omaha, Nebraska, where a man spent a night in jail for robbing a gas station. Now, here's what happened. He walks into the gas station with a rubber band around his finger. So, not a gun or anything.
Uh-huh.
Just rubber band.
Sure.
And starts pointing it at the customers. Starts pointing it at the cashier.
Well, you don't want to take one to the eye.
No, of course not. That, I mean, listen, I'd rather be shot with a rubber band than a firearm. So,
right, yeah.
But it's still unpleasant.
Right.
Anyway, he's holding the rubber band up to the cashier, demands money, and then just starts quacking. And quacks at the customers, and quacks at the guy. And so they call the cops. The police pull him in for questioning. And the guy just starts quacking at them, too.
Mm-hmm.
So he spent the night in jail for causing a nuisance. He didn't actually fire the rubber band because that would be battery.
Oh.
At least he knew that.
Yeah. So he didn't. I don't think he knew it. I think he's just a crazy person.
He was just annoying.
Yeah.
He got charged with being annoying is what you're
in
telling
public,
me.
In public, which apparently is a charge that I feel like not enough people get charged with, because I know a lot of annoying people, and none of them have spent a night
well,
in jail.
Well, John and I have both been to Omaha. It's typically a nice place.
Yeah, but you know what? It's a little slow, and I wouldn't mind seeing someone walk around just quacking around.
You know, that's probably why he only got one night in jail. The city was like, yeah, we need him back out on the street.
Now, did he do a solid, like, was he actually doing like a quack, or was he doing just like a quack, quack? Like, what kind of level of quack was he giving?
You know, they didn't specify.
Oh, see... One question too many.
Yeah, how dare you?
It always happens.
But I'm going to say he just quack.
The other two stories. So Justin's with, if you want to hear us talk about MySpace today, we're going back down memory lane in a big way on our podcast Justin's story.
Big time.
And then I'll tell you my mbops. I guess both are throwback stories.
Yeah, they are.
This morning. They'll be up in our podcast. We'll also have them up online at mix1051utah.com. What is our AMA today? We've got ghost hunters here in studio from the Wasatch Investigative Society for Paranormal Studies. They're known as the Wisps of Town. We have in Tim. Morning, Tim.
Hello.
And so can I say the name you gave me on air? Or
oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Castle is here as well.
Exactly.
Okay, perfect. Awesome. So Castle and Tim are both here from Wisps. And how long have you both been paranormal hunters, Tim?
Me personally, I've been doing this for about 5 years.
Oh, okay.
I met him about actually 4.5 years ago and joined his team, and then quickly became one of the key members of the team.
So now, are there more than one team when it comes to the WISP organization?
It's like a big group, isn't it? Where you have certain, like quite a few people?
We do. We have like 15 people or so
okay.
on the team, and we've got it kind of split up between two different teams. So we've got WISPs, which does our residential investigations. And then you can kind of see the shirt that we're both sporting, Advanced Paranormal Services. That's our public face.
Okay.
The public investigations.
And our advancedparanormal.com is where we're located at. If people want to find us, that's the easiest, is advancedparanormal.com.
Okay.
And from there, you can get to the WISP page and the Advanced Paranormal page.
So, Castle, Tim's been doing it for 5 years. How about yourself, then?
So, I've been doing it for 6 years, but to be honest with you, I was interested in studying it since I was about 10 years old.
Yeah.
So, basically... anything I could get my hands on as far as reading and then investigating, but actually seriously going out and investigating, looking for stuff, about 5.5-6 years.
Okay. And when we're talking about investigating and looking around at stuff, I'm going to have to compare it to, is it like Ghost Adventures? Because that's the only thing, you know, like we've watched.
Yes and no.
Okay. Yeah, that's the big one on TV, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. It's kind of, it's interesting. Ben Hansen from Fact or Faked is a really good friend of ours. And he summed it up really nicely. He, on those TV shows, You see, you know, 30 minutes, 45 minutes of just things going crazy. Really, that's probably a whole night's worth of filming that they condensed down into a 40-minute episode.
Right.
So we have had nights that are really fascinating and interesting. Then you have other nights where you just kind of sit around on your butt and talk to yourself in the dark like an idiot.
That's what I'm wondering.
You think that there's a lot of time doing that, huh? You're just sitting in a dark room.
And you may have a night where you go to a place and you investigate, and after 2-3 hours, you may only have one or two neat experiences. And, you know, 2.5 or 2 hours and 45 minutes of it's just kind of, is there anybody here?
But is that enough for you when you're there? If you're sitting there overnight, let's say it's a 4-hour EVP session. I don't know if that's how long they'll go for, but, and you get one little EVP, is it worth it? Do you get the high enough to where it's
the adrenaline?
Yeah,
if it's a good quality EVP, if it's what we call a class A EVP, hell yeah, it's worth it.
Really? So, all right.
Yeah, it definitely depends on the EVP. Some EVPs are really awesome, but every now and then you have like a whole night and you get like, is there somebody here with me, and get really quiet.
Yes. If we go back to the upstairs, we hear EVP a lot. What does it stand for?
Electronic voice phenomena. And it's really interesting. What it is, and anybody can do it. I mean, anybody's smartphone can record. In fact, we do public investigations. In fact, we've got one coming up on Saturday that we still have tickets available for. Just plug that.
Yeah.
But anyway, I forgot the question. I sidetracked myself.
EVPs are
electronic voice phenomena. Mm-hmm. But basically, anybody can record audio. And what they do is after you record an investigation, you can go back, put on some good quality headphones, sit down at your computer, and essentially you can sometimes catch voices that were not there while you're recording.
Got it.
Do you have to be in a dark room to get an EVP? Can you do one like in the middle of the day at noon, Tim?
Yeah, you could.
You can. Okay.
I mean, spirits they don't have a concept of time.
Yeah.
The day, night doesn't mean anything to them. It's something that's for the living.
Got it.
So, I mean, I've had people that have had experiences, like you said, at noon or like 3 p.m. So it doesn't really matter the time. It's just we kind of do it at night. Because it kind of sets that ambiance
that makes sense.
You're looking for. The other thing is like you have less traffic. So if you're like in a building where there's a lot of cars driving by, you have less possible chance of contamination.
Oh, interference.
And the only thing about the dark is you can sometimes see things that you wouldn't normally see in a well-lit room.
Really?
We've actually seen glowing orbs float through rooms, which you're not going to see in a well-lit room. But it's interesting because there's some people have different concepts. We actually heard a team, and I don't remember the team's name, and even if I did, I wouldn't call them out on the air, where one of the team members says, well, you can't ghost hunt in the light because the ghosts are afraid of the light. And you kind of look at them like, okay.
Not so much.
Not so much. Day, night doesn't matter.
Yeah, they're ghosts. They're not afraid of anything.
It's our AMA with Tim and Castle from advancedparanormal.com. They do have a ghost hunt coming up. We're going to give you tickets for that. We're also answering your questions. So you can text us at 844-649-1051. We're on Facebook Live right now, facebook.com/mix1051Utah. You can put your questions there. So we're taking the text, we're taking the comments. For example, Bree sent us a message on Facebook asking if there's ever been bad energy attached to you after doing a paranormal investigation. And Tim, you said that there has been for you.
Yes, it was when I first started getting into investigating. It was probably like my second or third public investigation.
Okay.
After I joined the team. We were at a building that I can't mention. They've asked to remain anonymous. But he was actually at a different venue. And I had like three girls with me and then another the caretaker of the building. And he was playing some EVPs for us, and the three girls started feeling sick. And so we were on the top floor, and we decided to go down to the bottom floor. And after we went down the fire escape, or they went down the fire escape, me and the guy were still upstairs. And we both smelt this, like, really bad. It was kind of a mix between, like, decaying body and body odor. It was it was terrible.
No.
And he looked at me, and he's like, well, that's a sign of a demonic entity. I'm like, okay, that's cool. So
Tim's been neglecting his personal hygiene.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
That happens sometimes. But we made our way downstairs, and the girls were freaking out because there's this one room that had a lot of EMF, which is electronic magnetic field.
Okay.
Sorry, I was going to say phenomenon. That's the wrong word. But I was showing them. I'm like, it's just there's a lot of wires and power going through this room. That's what it was. I'm like, see if you step outside. And as soon as I step outside, I instantly felt sick. I was on the ground like dry heaving.
Wow.
I just felt something wasn't right. So I gave him a call and I'm like, hey man, I need a priest of blessing. Can you get down here quick? And he's like, yeah, I'm on my way. And then the call just ended. I thought he hung up. He thought I hung up. Like,
as if like the spirit hung up the phone because they didn't want...
That's as near as we can tell.
Right, yeah.
And at that point, I was at a different venue, probably about a block away with the other half of the team.
Uh-huh.
We literally sprinted from that location to the other location. Do you mind if I pick up the story right here?
Yeah, go ahead.
And so first thing that we did when we got there is I went into the building to clear it, and it's a 3-story building. It's an older building down here in downtown Salt Lake. And I went up to the 3rd story of the building to clear it. And when you got in there, you could actually hear voices murmuring. It's almost like when you walk into a really crowded room and you can hear the voices, but you can't really pick out any specific conversation.
Yeah.
Kind of like that, but a little bit lower. So made sure there's nobody left on that floor. Went down to the 2nd floor to clear it, and it sounded like a football team was coming down the stairs behind us. Wooden stairs. I mean, it literally sounded like there was, just clomp, 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 clomp down the stairs. Cleared the 2nd floor and then got out of the building. But, I mean, it was the energy in there and just everything else was just off the charts crazy.
So there are spirits that can attach to you and then make you feel these ways, like nauseous, like you said, on the floor. Tim, you're almost writhing from something.
Like, I was dry heaving.
Oh, my gosh.
I felt like I was going to throw up. I remember when he got there with our team medium, they said when they got around the corner and saw me, they felt like they just hit a brick wall. The energy was that thick. And I remember them trying to give me the priest of blessing, and they couldn't. Like, they couldn't get the words out at all.
Something was fighting you.
Yeah, we actually had to move away from the venue to kind of take care of Tim and get him in a good spot.
Really?
I mean, it was interesting how the whole thing went down, because I remember they put me in his Jeep, and they started playing some church hymns.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if they did this on purpose or if it just kind of happened, but everyone kind of formed like a circle around me, which – if you've seen the shows or anything like that, usually a circle signifies like protection.
Mm-hmm.
You're protecting whatever's in the middle. And
then
at that point,
to beat him with sticks.
Yeah. At that point, they were able to break the attachment at that point.
So Tim and Castle are here in studio from advancedparanormal.com. I asked you to think of like the creepiest or scariest thing you have seen. It popped in my head when Castle, you were mentioning seeing glowing orbs in the dark just when you're doing a ghost hunt. So I'll start with you. What was like the creepiest thing that you've experienced doing these?
Well, there's so many. I don't even know where to start. But the one that I will start on actually was not so much something physical or spiritual that I saw. We're actually at a venue. It's a venue that we're actually going to be investigating in January. And the details for that are, again, on advancedparanormal.com. But we're in the basement, and this venue is very, very dark. And we had one of our medium friends down there, and we were talking to a spirit. And all of a sudden, our medium friend just quit talking. And she was just kind of sitting there, and I looked over at her, and her right hand was kind of up in a claw.
Okay.
Her name is Brandy. I said, Brandy. Brandy, and she didn't say anything. And so I just kind of reached up and grabbed her wrist. And with her other hand, she looked over at me, and her eyes were not her.
Nope. Yeah, because you could tell by looking.
Uh-huh.
Something wasn't right.
And with her other hand, she reached out and started trying to choke me, physically try to choke me at that point. She was not there. We had to physically carry her out of that basement.
That's crazy.
Something possessed her.
I don't know how many times I've had to carry her out of places.
Yeah.
Really?
Essentially, no, someone jumped into her and was basically physically attacking me through her. And that was a little, makes your stomach sink just a little bit.
Yeah, I would say so. Tim, what about you? What was one of the creepiest or scariest moments during your ghost hunt?
Oh, there's so many. The one that I just told is one of the scariest.
Absolutely.
Like I said, I couldn't sleep for like a month after that. I would get maybe 2 hours of sleep a night, and it wasn't consecutive. The venue that he's talking about that we actually just recently did, I remember we were in the basement, and I was in a group with his wife, and everyone was kind of looking in different directions, and she turned, and she saw what looked like, I want to say Anubis, the Egyptian god of death.
Yeah.
Like just that scary, like,
she described
jackal, that just like decaying jackal face. And it freaked her out. And the weird thing for me was like, I've kind of started opening up and I can kind of sense and feel and see spirits occasionally.
Okay.
They started showing me exactly what they showed her. And I can tell you right now, it was not something I care to see again.
Wow.
So almost they can take over your mind at some point when you're on these hunts, if you're not careful.
Some people are more susceptible than others. And so when we do like our public investigations, there are a list of rules that we ask that people follow. It really, investigating is safe if you do it properly.
Mm-hmm.
The key is doing it properly. And there's a lot of things you can do to really get yourself into some trouble if you don't know what you're doing.
Julie, who wants to know, how do you choose your locations? Because in her office, there was a murder back in 1987 that remains unsolved. The police have recently been working this cold case, bringing attention to the public. Is this something like Castle you guys are interested in?
Well, we don't investigate anything that happened prior to 1988, so no. Just kidding. No, really, to be honest with you, how we choose our investigations, it depends what we're doing. The public stuff, we've got some different venues that we normally use. We're always open to any venue who will let us come in. But the private investigations, which we do, which are always free, I should add, anytime somebody wants us to come to a home, we don't charge anything.
Oh, really?
Right.
Okay.
In fact, I don't think it's ethical to come into somebody's home and charge them money to deal with a problem.
Well, even if it's like a business that's having quite a bit of problems and you just want us to come and check it out and not do like a public thing, we'll do that for free as well.
Oh, that's
right.
Cool.
So, and there's links on advancedparanormal.com. So if you want us to come into a place and investigate, obviously, you know, we need the venue owner, the homeowner, the business owner to be on board with it. We don't want to be in there, you know, trespassing essentially.
Gotcha.
Well, that, and we've had investigations where one of the homeowners was okay with us being there. The other one was clearly not. So when we try to get rid of the entity that was in the home, we couldn't, because that one homeowner was just so involved with that spirit. It just, as soon as we kicked it out, he invited it right back in. And we found out this dude is actually playing the Ouija board like on a daily basis.
Oh, you mentioned Ouija boards. I want to ask you about this because my buddy has a story that when he was in high school, they went to a haunted place, messed with a Ouija board, and he felt like this spirit followed him home and like tormented him. And I just want to know, like, what are your thoughts on Ouija boards? Is it just a game you buy at Target, or is there more to it?
There's way more to it. Most of the really bad negative cases that we've been involved in take root from somebody screwing around with a Ouija board.
Really?
There's people who use them and don't have any issues, but those who do get issues have bad issues.
Wow.
Is that because you're inviting a ghost or a spirit or some kind of demon into your...
It actually tends to invite more negative type spirits in. They're just... I can't warn people away from those strongly enough. Seances, Ouija boards, things of that nature, we don't mess with that stuff. It's just way too dangerous for people to mess with.
The way I like to compare it to is like if you're going to bed at night and you leave your front door wide open, you don't know who or what's going to come in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could have someone that's nice enough they could lock your door for you and shut it and be on their way. Or you could have someone come in and rob you blind. You have no idea.
Right. That's a good example.
Neighborhood cats.
Cameron's asking about the Skinwalker Ranch, which I know I've seen on Ghost Adventures before. Have you been down to Skinwalker Ranch? Have you yourself experienced anything down there?
You know what? That is one of those places that I would love to go.
Yeah.
It's incredibly difficult to get there.
Oh.
Certain people have connections. I am not one of those certain people.
There's some like really rich dude that recently bought it this year, and they pretty much shut it down, and they're doing their own investigating there.
Okay.
And they're not really letting other people in. So
at this point,
it's really hard to get in there.
So let me ask you a few of the other ones that we've heard here in Utah, like Skinwalkers, one that we've heard. I've heard the Perry Hotel. Have you done any? Yes.
We actually ended the Paranormal Expo earlier this month, and she put all of her guests at the Perry Hotel.
No kidding. I love that.
I'm actually friends with one of the guests, so she let us come in her room and kind of investigate the hotel a little bit. There is activity there. I felt more in the basement, and I'm sure they won't be happy with me telling this, but I don't care because I don't plan on staying there. but yeah, there was definitely, I did pick up on something, and I had my team medium there with us as well. So there's definitely spirits and activity there. Actually our friends, they said they woke up in the middle of the night. They heard a really loud crash above them, and they were on the top floor. There's nothing above them.
Huh. Yeah, that's not.
The other one is the one out in Magna.
Oh, the pizza place.
Is it Mona's? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Mona's Pizzeria. Have you been to that one?
Yes, I actually had dinner there one night with John Zaffis, who was one of the hosts of the Haunted Collector TV show.
Okay.
So had dinner there, but didn't really investigate. A few that we have been to that you've probably heard of is the Family Tree Restaurant.
That was my next one I was going
to
bring up.
That's actually the place where I got choked out, or where they tended to choke
Really?
Didn't
me.
You go to that one, John?
I've been there, yeah. I've been there twice. It's on the way down to Raleigh's Red Barn, so I like to stop there and eat, and I'm a fan of like ghost hunting, like the idea of it. I've never done it. So I always go like, maybe we'll see a ghost while we eat.
Right.
And we never
I do. Actually have seen a ghost in that particular building, and that's one of the places where we're going in January. That people can...
Oh, okay, one of your public ones.
Right.
Okay.
But yeah, in fact, I'll kind of diverge right there real quick to tell you where I saw a ghost there.
Yeah.
We actually were doing a public investigation one night, and we were in the back room, and it was kind of dark. We had everybody seated, and we were, you know, asking our questions, and I saw one of our guests kind of weaving through the chairs, kind of a dark silhouette, and he got in front of me, and I kind of lost him in the dark, and I turned my flashlight on, and there was nobody there. Everybody was seated. And I asked everybody in the room, I said, were one of you guys just standing up a minute ago? And everybody said, no, I've been sitting. So what I thought was a guest was actually not a guest. It was one of the spirits there at
the
venue.
So the family tree is haunted.
Oh,
super haunted.
Incredibly haunted.
Okay. What's another place locally that is Fort Douglas? That's another one I've heard.
That's where we're going Saturday.
That's the one we're about to give tickets to.
Uh-huh. Okay. And that one is very haunted as well. We've had a lot of experiences there.
Fear Factory's haunted.
Fear Factory?
Uh-huh. I saw that one recently on TV. That was an it was the cement factory and all the weird stuff that went down there.
Right. And right this time of year, it's a haunted attraction, like a spook alley, for lack of a better word.
Right.
But it is actually haunted. We do go there on occasion. Asylum 49, which is the old Twilla Hospital, which is also a Halloween haunted attraction.
Yeah,
my opinion is probably haunted. The most haunted place in Utah.
So you're telling me Asylum 49 out there in Twilla, it's like an old hospital.
Yeah.
Is the most haunted place in Utah?
In my opinion.
In your opinion.
That I've been to?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably the most haunted place that I've been to in Utah.
And I would argue there's one that I think is more haunted, but it's a secret location that we refer to as the mausoleum.
Okay.
Which is...
Well, that's not... Any cemetery is haunted.
Which is off the charts haunted.
A lot of people wanting to know if they themselves can become like ghost hunters. Like you mentioned that you can just grab your phone and start recording. So if I have a recorder on my phone, so could Justin and I go into an elevator that we feel is haunted here in the building, and can we just do an EVP session with our phone?
Yes, but let me give people a little bit of warning.
Yes.
Yeah, you can go do an EVP session. Like I said, when you're done, make sure that you tell stuff it's not welcome to follow you.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful not to challenge or invite anything to follow you home. The one warning I would give anybody, though, is if someone wants to get into ghost hunting, go to places like Asylum 49, go to places like the Fort Douglas Military Museum, you know, go spend an afternoon at your local cemetery. Don't start by going to people's homes, because if you don't know what you're doing and you go to someone's home, you can really cause a lot of damage. And stir things up that shouldn't be stirred up if you're going into private residences without experience.
There's plenty of teams out there like ours that do public investigations
right.
that you can learn from. So if you don't do it from us, I mean, we can point you in a direction of other teams that also do this quite often.
They're not as awesome, though.
All right, my podcast friends, we are keeping the AMA going just for you with Tim and Castle from AdvancedParanormal.com. We had a text asking about new homes. Can a new house be haunted just as easy as, say, like an old house?
Yes. It's actually going to be the land that's haunted, not the building itself.
Okay.
What I probably won't comfort your listeners at all is most buildings and homes that we've been to have been haunted. It's actually more uncommon to find a place that doesn't have some spirits in it than does. Some of the craziest investigations we've had have been in brand new homes. In fact, one of the homes we investigated that had some stuff going on, they didn't have their lawn in yet. It was so new. We had another home out in West Jordan that a brand new home is probably about a $500,000 home. They'd been in it for a year and had moved out to their parents' house because of the activity in the home, and were trying to unload that home as quick as they could because of what was going on. And it was a brand new $500,000 home.
Well, that was the house that they made a list asking the spirits that they literally had a list of like 20 items, said, please don't do any of these things on this list. So they went through, I believe they started at the bottom of the list, the spirits did, and did every single thing on the list they asked them not to do.
Really?
They were so freaked out.
It's like a to-do list.
They moved right out of
the
house.
Go ahead, Jackson.
Ghosts sound rude, apparently. Yeah. They'll just do everything.
That was more of what we call like a type 3 or an inhuman spirit.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't an actual.
Yeah, there are different types of spirits. There's spirits who are just like if you were out to kill over dead right now, and then there are spirits that are just nasty, inhuman, kind of stuff like you'd see on like the movie The Conjuring. Amityville Horror, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's the kind of ghost I want to show up for. I want to see. That's what I'm in this for. We do have a few questions, including... Oh, where did it go? Are ghosts always malicious? Are ghosts always aware of living people even when they're not malicious?
No to both of those, actually.
Yeah.
They're not always malicious. We've come across like little children spirits that are just lost, and they're very friendly, or sometimes they see like a puppy that they want to play with, so they just stay at the house. But we also,
oh my God, that's so cute.
I've actually dealt with that earlier this year, but we also have a case where there's the building where I got attacked. There was two homeless guys that died in the building, one fully aware that he was dead and the other one had no idea. So the one that knew he was dead is basically like stuck trying to convince this other one that they had passed on.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah, you could hear him on the equipment. There was a device that was being used. I can't even remember what device it was. It was kind of like an Echo Vox, but it wasn't.
Probably the Echo Vox.
It was like a modified version of the Echo Vox, which is a device, but you could kind of hear the conversation between them. The one guy trying to convince the other guy, hey, we're dead. And the other one's like, what's going on? I don't know.
That's my worst nightmare is that John and I will end up dead in the same room and I have to convince him, come on, we got to go. The rest of my afterlife is just trying to convince John to do what I want him to do because he never does.
For eternity.
He's so stubborn.
Just make sure he doesn't OD on something and you'll be fine. Because that's kind of what the case was.
Well, that's the problem, though. I don't know what he's doing.
That was kind of the case in the situation is the spirit had one of them. I believe they died of an overdose. The other one died because of the cold temperature. Mm. But, yeah, we've come across. There was we went to a house in Provo. The spirit died when he was high, and they had the munchies, basically. And that's what all the activity the family was getting was he was coming
in the kitchen messing around in their pantry.
Yep.
Where's the Cheetos?
Oh, well, that is hilarious. Bree wants to know, when did you have your first paranormal encounter and when did you realize it was something that you wanted to continue researching?
Oh, that's a,
very long story that you can hear.
There's a very long story, podcast episode. But basically when I was a wee young child, probably about 5 years old, my parents both worked shift work and I used to stay at my great aunt's house, which was very old, very haunted and weird crap happened there constantly. Uh-huh. So I basically grew up as a child around stuff. I mean, everybody in the house would be in the basement. You could clearly hear footsteps walking on the main floor. And so that's kind of where this all started for me is just experiencing stuff like that and just kind of being weirded out by it. And there's just a certain feel that any spirit gives off. I mean, once you've been exposed to it and someone's pointed out what that is, it's easy to recognize from there on out. And you could feel that weird vibe in that particular home, and it's kind of it depends, but it was kind of a give you the heebie-jeebies. You didn't want to be alone in certain places in the house. So that's kind of what piqued my interest and got me interested in investigating.
Cool.
When I grew up around it too, my aunt's been attached to my dad ever since he was three, so I've always been around spirit. I wasn't aware of it until like recently, but I've always been around it, and I'm sure I had experiences when I was younger. But what got me into it is one was when I first started seeing Ghost Hunters, which was like the first show ever. Like I wanted to quit my job and move to Georgia and see if I could be part of the team. But for me, like the first experience I ever had is when I was working at Sports Authority in Bountiful. It was a very small building and it was nighttime. I was closing up and I only had two employees with me and I could see both of them like right in front of me. And off to my right in our back room where we kept the shoes, they had those old style ladders that were on the rollers and kind of slid back and forth. And there was also a like wood paneling floor and part of the floor because apparently it used to be stairs to a basement or something. But I heard, all three of us heard this. We heard someone jump off that ladder and just slam really hard on that wood panel floor and go running through the back room. And at that point, I looked at my employees and I'm like, we're getting the heck out of here right now. And we all clocked out and left.
We just have about 2 minutes before we have to be back on air, but I wanted to go through a few of these places. Just give me like a yes or no if these places are, if you've been in there haunted. Rio Grande.
Yes.
Let's see. Hospital Tooele. That's where they worked at. Coulter's Lodge in Afton, Wyoming.
Never heard of it.
Okay. The Ogden Ceremony or Cemetery.
We have investigated a cemetery in Ogden, but I guarantee it, it's haunted. I don't know if it's the same one, but
any cemetery.
All of them are.
To be honest with you,
the Empress Theater in Magna.
Yes, I've never been there, but I know other teams that have investigated it.
The Benjamin House.
That one is actually closed and has lots of fencing around it and do not trespass signs.
Got it.
So it probably is, but if you're there, you're trespassing, and if you're trespassing doing paranormal investigations, I hate you. I will find you and I will cut you because you've ruined it for a lot of us to get into other venues by trespassing.
Tim Castle, advancedparanormal.com. I could talk to you guys all day. We got to get back to the on-air stuff, but I just want to say thanks for coming in and I'm giving us an hour of your time. Like I really do appreciate
it. Yeah,
no, oh, hey, thank you. Anytime.
Yeah.
We give an hour of our time every week on our podcast.
And again, if anybody's interested, advancedparanormal.com, that's where we got tickets to Ghost Towns. That's where our podcast is at. And thanks again for having us on.
Justin, let's do the showbiz beat.
Hey, there's wisdom in getting your wisdom teeth removed at JBR Clinical Research, especially if there's no cost to you. Find out if you qualify at jbrclinicalresearch.com. Jennifer Garner. She's dating somebody casually now.
Oh, is she?
Yeah. His name is John Miller. And John, you might know what this is. He's the CEO of Cali Burger. Have you heard of Cali Burger?
No, I haven't.
I guess it's like In-N-Out.
Okay.
And I was like, well, Caliber. You know, it's very obviously in Cali, since it's called Cali
right,
Burger.
Right.
And I thought maybe you might know what it is. But apparently, the only thing that is different about Cali Burger is they've got a flipping machine. They can cook 150 hamburgers an hour. It's called Flippy.
So I just went to Cali Burger.
Yeah. You recognize the logo?
No. In fact, most of Cali Burgers are in Seattle, Baltimore, and Bakersfield, California.
Okay. Oh, who goes to Bakersfield? So, Bakersfield is terrible.
So it's definitely, it's called Cali Burger, but they're not allowed in California.
Got it.
Yeah.
California's like, yeah, you don't belong here.
Right. No. We have In-N-Out here. So yeah, that's what she's up to. I thought that was kind of interesting. So while Pink and her daughter were sitting at a piano, they were actually, you know how they were doing the remake of a lot of the Greatest Showman songs?
Yep.
They sat down, and you just have to hear this audio of Pink's daughter.
So this is the recording that you'll be actually here on the
cover
of The Greatest Showman that's coming out in November. So you'll hear Pink at the beginning, and then her daughter starts singing.
I'm blown away.
I think you're fun. I'm super. Why? Because you're fun. I'm glad I had you.
Every night I lie in bed, the brightest colors fill my head. A million dreams are keeping me awake. I think of what the world could be. Vision of the one I see. A million dreams is all it's gonna take.
She sounds so good.
Cute.
Yeah, she got something from her mom there, didn't she?
Oh, and the video, you could just see the pride in Pink's face as her daughter is singing. She's like sitting on her knees next to her daughter. Her daughter's up to the microphone and she's just like beaming at her daughter as she sings the song. And her daughter's just looking right into Pink's eyes, like singing to her. I watched it this morning, and I told you, I was fighting back
really
tears.
Good. Yeah. Wonder if she can ride motorcycles like her dad, sing like her mom. She's going to be like this perfect little...
Right?
Yeah.
You know? Little monster.
Hey, John Legend is teaming up with his wife, Chrissy Teigen, to do a special for the Legendary Christmas. He is milking this for all it is worth because, well, he's coming to Salt Lake City. We gave away tickets last week.
Right.
But it's now going to be a TV special that's going to air Wednesday, November 28th on NBC.
A Legendary Christmas?
I don't have NBC right now, but Legendary Christmas, which that's the same thing that's coming to town. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know why all of a sudden he decided like, hey, I'm all things Christmas, but he is this year.
Okay, just as a side note, I don't want to hear Justin complain about me complaining about my car ever again because he talks about not having KSL every day. He complains about it.
I'm hoping somebody's going to hook me up with something here. I'm going to complain about it. Come on, DirecTV, get it together. That's a showbiz beat.
Hi, Mix. Who's this?
Hi, this is Allie.
Hey, Allie. You want to play rapid fire trivia?
Yes.
All right, Allie, today you are playing for tickets to Disney's The Nutcracker, the advanced screening next week. Here's how rapid fire trivia works. We have 30 seconds to answer 10 trivia questions. If you run out of time, well, the next caller gets back in at question number one. And today is World Pasta Day, so I have pasta trivia. How do you feel like you're going to do with pasta trivia?
Oh, boy. I don't know. It's awesome.
All right, Justin, you got 30 seconds on the clock?
We're ready.
Here we go. This kind of common square pasta is stuffed with ground meat or vegetables. What kind of pasta is this?
Ravioli?
What is the technical name for red sauce commonly used on spaghetti and pizza?
Marinara.
This is the flat pasta found in sheets with fluted edges, often mixed with cheese and meat sauce in layers.
Oh, lasagna?
This type of pasta is long and stringy, very popular. It can be topped with tomato sauce, parmesan. This green sauce goes on pasta is called?
I don't know.
I got Jackson with this one yesterday, too.
You're really failing this testo.
Oh, yes. Ooh, I like that.
Is it pesto?
Yeah!
Time!
Oh! Allie, I think if pesto didn't stumble you, you could have got all 10.
Yeah, she was doing good.
You were doing well.
Her pacing was good.
Allie wasn't afraid to cut John off in the middle of a question when she knew it.
I know, I'm sorry.
No. That's the way you win, so.
That's a good strategy. A lot of people don't, and I was like, you realize you're wasting valuable time letting John talk, right?
Allie, thanks for calling in.
Thanks, guys. Hi, this is Kristen.
Kristen, are you ready for rapid fire trivia?
Yes.
Okay, Kristen, today is World Pasta Day, so it's all pasta trivia. Justin, 30 seconds on the clock.
We are ready.
This kind of common square pasta is stuffed with ground meat or vegetables. What kind
Ravioli.
Of... What is the technical name for the red sauce commonly used on spaghetti and pizza?
Marinara.
What kind of flat pasta found in sheets with fluted edges is often mixed
Lasagna.
With... This type of pasta is long and stringy, very popular. It can be topped with tomato sauce. This green sauce goes on pasta is called?
Pesto.
The macaroni and cheese in a blue box is made by?
Kraft.
Sure, you use a fork with spaghetti, but you can also use this utensil for assistance.
Boom.
What country do we associate pasta with?
Italy.
This American pasta company has the slogan, when you're here, you're family. It rhymes with Flall of Flardin.
What?
Time.
Oh, no!
No!
So close.
Kristen, I thought you had it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
The Flall of Flardin?
It wasn't my best
hint. I'm like, I don't even know what that one is now.
Listen,
it wasn't my best hint. I'll admit that much. Kristen, next time you go to the Olive Garden, you're going to just be kicking yourself in the butt. Hey,
but you won't worry about it because you're family.
Hey, have a great day. Thanks for playing.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Logo, rapid fire trivia for Disney Nutcracker tickets. 30 seconds for pasta trivia. Justin, are you ready?
We are ready.
All right. This kind of common square pasta is stuffed with ground meat or vegetables. What kind of pasta is this?
Ravioli.
What is the technical name for the red sauce commonly used on spaghetti and pizza?
Marinara.
What kind of flat pasta found in sheets with fluted edges is mixed with cheese and meat sauce in layers?
Lasagna.
This type of pasta is long and stringy, very popular. It can be topped with tomatoes. This green sauce that goes on pasta is called?
Pesto.
The macaroni and cheese in a blue box is made by?
Kraft.
Sure, use a fork with spaghetti, but you can also use this utensil for assistance.
Soon.
What country do we associate pasta with?
Italy.
The American pasta restaurant has a slogan, when you're here, your family is?
Olive Garden.
The white sauce that goes on pasta is called?
Alfredo.
Yeah! Logo, you got it. You won yourself a family four-pack of tickets to Disney's Nutcracker.
Yes, thank you.
Are you guys ready for my amazing fact of the day?
Sure.
Yeah.
Donuts only make up 10% of Dunkin' Donuts revenue. The bulk of the money actually comes from?
Coffee.
Coffee.
I get it. There's a big buzz about that. People love their coffee.
Which is why they shorten their name to Dunkin', because they're like, who needs these donuts thing? We got coffee going on. All right, podcast friends, I'm going to start with another amazing fact, and then we'll get into the Choose the News, and we have a ghost story I think we're going to tell today. I just saw this text coming in asking about my drag. I wanted to see if it's something. Someone really wants me to shave my eyebrows. It's not happening.
There'll be another bet for another time.
I don't know. I don't mind doing something that like affects me for a day or a week, but eyebrows.
They take a while to grow back.
Yeah.
John, though, let's be real. What do you have going on outside of this?
Showbiz?
Mm-hmm. What showbiz?
I sometimes do things for showbiz. It's been a while since they've cast me, but there's a time.
We can draw some on if you need them.
I'm in that weird stage. I'm no longer a leading man, but I'm not old enough yet to be anything
else. To be like a dad.
Right.
Yeah, no one wants to cast you as Danny Tanner quite yet.
Right. Haagen-Dazs was started by a couple in the Bronx. They actually made up the name using nonsense words that just sounded foreign. Actually,
oh,
means
that's
great. Just like Haagen-Dazs. Yeah, write that down.
So we thought it was German all along. And
mm-hmm. But they sued another ice cream company called Frusenglade in 1980 for using a foreign-sounding name. But here's the thing: Frusenglade actually means frozen delight in Swedish.
Stop it.
So Haagen-Dazs lost the case because the judge is like, you guys are just gibberish.
I would have been upset if they would have won the case.
I would have too.
Yeah, you can't just own any foreign name is ours. Like, doesn't work like that.
Not how that works.
Yeah. Next thing you know, like Kia suing Subaru and all that. All right, let's go to the Choose the News stories that didn't win. That's you and me, Justin.
Yeah, so Facebook, they're secretly trying to become MySpace. Out of all the things, though, that were great about MySpace, this is the one that annoyed me the most. Here's what they're going to be doing now. They're testing it. I don't think any of us in the room are being one of the test pages, but to where you can actually add the song to where, like, say, if I click on your...
Oh, it's the worst part.
It is the worst one. I always hated it when you were secretly trying to stalk somebody and all of a sudden the music started playing.
Yeah, their favorite song. Anthem.
Yeah.
Remember
like
MySpace,
if I'm supposed
though.
To stalk Jackson from over here, he instantly knows that I'm trying to look at his page.
And then you got the top 10.
Yes.
Oh, MySpace was my jam. I had, and when you went to my page, your mouse clicker turned into a dancing banana.
Nice.
So you got to click around with a dancing banana. I had all sorts of pictures of dogs and stuff as my background. You could customize your page to be anything. It was like your own little website.
To me, I wonder if they've made some kind of a deal with the music industry on this one. But
oh, you never know.
It would definitely pump life into them, though, if you could customize your page.
The problem is you never go to people's pages anymore. Not as often. But that was a thing back then.
Well, because the only way to get their information was to go to their page.
Right, yeah.
Or they would post on the bulletin board.
That's right.
I loved the bulletin board.
We didn't have the feed that we have now.
No.
So it was a different time.
But back when you guys had MySpace.
Yeah.
Did you play around with your top favorite friends or your top
five
friends?
No, I never messed with it.
Justin?
I put mine in there and I left them. I didn't move friends in and out.
You moved them all the time.
I was in middle school. That was social currency. If you were, the more top fives you were in, that made your place in my school.
Did you keep Tom from MySpace in your top?
No, but the most popular kid in school did. His number one friend was Tom from MySpace.
Okay, smart. It was kind of cool to do that.
That was the cool thing. No, mine was cutthroat. I only have my top five because you could do like up to like the top 20 or whatever.
Right, yeah.
But that was the coward's way out as far as I'm concerned. So I only did my top five and they changed every day because I was constantly getting into fights.
Gosh.
I miss middle school.
Could only imagine you on MySpace.
That was so fun.
Hey, remember this song? Just dawned on me, I can't play more than that on a podcast.
No,
so I'll have to leave it with that. Mbop has been with us for over 20 years now. And Zach Hansen just let us know that it's actually deeper than you realize. He
really?
Says Mbop as a word, it represents time. It represents the fact that time passes quickly. And so in a story,
everyone forgot about who you are.
How dare you? He says in a story about reaching for what's important and kind of driving towards the impossible dream, Mbop is telling you, go now.
He made that up.
Go now, because in a moment, in a Mbop, life will be over and have passed you by.
I'm not buying it.
What are the other lyrics to this song that support any of that?
Mbop.
Mbop.
Because they were kids. They thought Mbop was just catchy, and that's why they sang it.
Well, somebody wrote it for them, right?
I think they were just like a family band. That's why that's like their only song. My mother-in-law bought the Hanson Christmas album last year.
How was it?
It was really good.
Their new stuff is good.
Yeah, because they have their whole family involved, like their kids and everything. It's not bad. His explanation of Mbop was bad, but besides that.
Right.
All right, hold on. Let me see what else I had over here.
I think it was more just like, well, it just shows the passage of time because remember when we were relevant and now we're not?
Hey, remember us?
Yeah, Mbop.
I'll say this. It's amazing you can still mention Hanson and people will bring up Mbop. Like, they've made it 20 years. Talk about a career.
Totally.
Of whatever. Let's see. Where did this happen? Oh, yeah. Have you ever eaten pet food?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Only 18% admit that they've tried pet food.
Oh, please.
Really? I've not eaten wet pet food, though. Only dry.
I don't think I've eaten wet.
And dog jerky is pretty good.
I can see that.
Dog jerky's not bad.
It's probably got to be very similar.
I'd recommend it.
Okay.
Oh, you're even recommending it.
Yeah, I'm giving it
I'm not going to recommend it.
Like the bacon strips?
Yes, like the bacon strips. That's exactly it.
Man, I used to steal like kibbles out all the time. Like when I was a kid, I'd just be there munching on kibbles. And my mom like, are you eating dog food again?
No.
Right.
It was a ghost with the munchies.
Hey, it's Jackson. Thank you so much for all the love and support, downloading the podcast, rating it, subscribing to it, telling all of your friends about it. It really means a lot to us. I'm here to tell you that during our AMA with the Ghost Hunters, we had a fireman message us and say, I have had a lot of paranormal experiences, and I'd really like to tell you my stories. We didn't have time in the show to do it, so I figured, you know what? Let's go ahead and just put it into the end of the podcast. So we called Javier. He's going to tell us some of his stories, but I'd like to do this more leading up to Halloween. So if you have paranormal experiences, paranormal stories, ghosts, psychics, anything like that that you want to tell us, why don't you send us an email? You can send me an email at jackson@bwaymedia.com, jackson @bwaymedia.com. Or you can shoot us a text at 844-649-1051. If we end up liking your story, maybe we'll call you and we'll put it into the podcast. So here is Javier from Chile.
Javier, you're a firefighter?
Yes, sir, I was.
Okay, and you've actually experienced paranormal activity while doing firefighting?
Actually, while I was on the fire station.
Really?
Oh, your fire station was haunted.
Yes. and I was a firefighter in Chile for about 8 years. So we always know that there were two firefighters that they die in action. The fire station was 2 stories high, and on the second floor it was the where the firefighters sleep. So one day I was walking into the fire station, and I hear people walking upstairs and moving chairs, like maybe like it was a meeting. And then I asked who was upstairs, and they were like, nobody. So and then I went upstairs and looked at it, and yeah, nobody was there. Hmm. So that was one. But the one that always, to me, the creepiest one, I was in a couch watching TV in the fire station, and I was by myself. Well, some people, they might not believe it, but I swear this is true. On the other side of the couch, on the other corner, something went down on the cushions. Like somebody sat down.
You saw a butt print, like sit down, like on the cushion next to you?
Yes, sir.
Whoa.
That would freak me out.
Haunted butt prints.
Stop it, Jackson. That would freak me out, man.
That really freaked me out. And I'm talking about this happened over 20 years ago, and I still have it on my head.
I would have left. I would have gone to a different firehouse. Can I have a transfer?
Yeah.
to be honest with you,
yeah.
Everybody, firefighter, knew about these two people that they died in fire. So we know that it was kind of haunted.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we were okay with it. So, yes, it did scare me. I did freak out a little bit, but I was kind of calm, let's say. I mean, I was okay with it.
Right.
Well, because they're the ghosts of firefighters. Like, yeah. That's their home, too.
It's your brothers.
Yeah. It's a brotherhood.
Yeah. Javier, thanks for those stories, man. Those were great.
Guys, I listen to you every single day when I told my kids in the school. I love you guys. And thank you.
Ah. Hey, man. Thanks, thank you. Have a good Thursday, okay?
You guys take care. Okay. Don't get spooky.
All right. Okay. Later, man.
Sounds good.
There you have it. That is a haunted firehouse in Chile. If you think that you have a story just as good as a haunted butt print, why don't you send us an email, jackson@bwaymedia.com, or shoot us a text at 844-649-1051. Hopefully, we'll be able to get you into the podcast. Again, rate, review, subscribe. Bye-bye.